This is HPR episode 1756 entitled Ranger File Manager. It is hosted by BeEasy and is about 22 minutes long. The summary is Introduction to the Ranger Command Line File Manager.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Again, this is BeEasy signing in, taking some feedback from some of the discussion from the summary podcast from HPR. I'm introducing myself this time. The first time I wasn't exactly sure which handle I was going to use, so I just left it blank. But now here I am once again, BeEasy, giving up a follow-up podcast to my initial one about how I use Linux to run my small business. There were some thoughts about this one project that I use a lot called Ranger, and I just decided I'm going to go into it a little bit. So Ranger is a command line utility for kind of like Midnight Commander. It's Ncurses based file manager, but it has Vim key bindings. And so I'm going to read just a little bit from the man page and then tell you a little bit about how I use it. So from the man page, the description is, Ranger is a console file manager with VI key bindings. It provides a minimalistic and nice Ncurses interface with a view on the directory hierarchy. The secondary task of Ranger is to figure out which program you want to open for each type of file. And so that's a brief introduction of what it is, and the first thing you want to do is configure it a little bit. You can hack it, you can customize it the way you like, and I'm just going to go through a little bit about how I use it. The project page is ranger.nongnu.org, and it has some nice documentation there on how to use it. Also, you can find it in a lot of repos. It's in the Debian and Ubuntu repos, and also the Fedora repos and Arch, and those are the ones I've checked. So what else does it do? Well, the main view of the system is like a three-pane view. There's like the previous view, there's a previous pane, the current pane, and the next pane. So you use either arrows or your VI keys, which are H, J, K, and L for moving around. So J and K up and down, or down and up, and then H and L left and right. So you can use those, or you can use up, down, left, right, and you can use page up and page down if you want to just simply move around. And so that's pretty cool. It's kind of a tree view. You can just go from tree to tree to tree. You can go down to the next folder and then go over and then see what's inside of that folder, and then go over and see what's inside of that folder. And the really cool thing is that it previews files real time. The reason why I like this better than Midnight Commander is because Midnight Commander, you have to hit F3 to preview the file if it's a text file, and it's really limited to the types of files that it can preview. There's a lot more flexibility with Ranger. So there's some optional dependencies that you can install that will allow you to preview lots of different types of files. You can install Kaka utils, so CACA-utils for ASCII art, so it'll turn JPEGs and BMPs into ASCII art in your screen. So it's really cool to see, especially something with not a lot of detail, like or even some really close-up pictures. You can see really cool ASCII art. there's a highlight. So Kaka Utils highlight is for syntax highlighting for code. So I've seen it work for HTML, XML, CSS, C, Python. It's the ones I've seen it, but I'm sure it does more than that. A-Tool is another one that you can install. That'll look inside of archive files, so zip, tar, and I think even like deb files that'll look inside. Links or W3M or e-links to look at HTML to give you a preview of what the HTML page will look in a text web browser. PDF to text, so that's PDF TOTEXT, and that will let you preview PDFs that are not scanned PDFs, but you know, PDFs that were turned into PDFs from either LaTeX or, you know, Word or some other way. Transmission-show will show you BitTorrent information if you're looking at a BitTorrent file. And media info, or EXIF tool, or EXIF tool for media file info. And I use media info anyway in the media info-GUI if I'm using a GUI application to look at the metadata for media. And so it's pretty cool. So if you go to an MP3 file, and that's the file that you're highlighting to preview on the right-hand side. So when you're looking at a file and it's not a directory, the next pane turns into a preview pane. And so that's where you'll either see the ASCII art or the text or the media file information. And so if you go to an MP3 file, you'll see all the information about the artist and the genre and the codec that was used to create it, all that kind of stuff. If you've never used media info, you should just check that out anyway. It's pretty cool. And the other thing is that the whole system is color-coded, and there's three different themes that you can choose from by default. I think you probably download some other ones, but there is the default one, which I just use. There's jungle, which is more green for the main colors, and then snow, where white is the main color. And so it's a little bit of customization there, and I'm going to go into a little bit later where you make these configurations. And then so when you're also navigating through the files, you can preview the file in that next menu, but if you hit write one more time when you're on that file, it'll actually open it in the launcher that you choose to use to open the file. And there's a config file to use to define that. So you can either, for like a text file, I use Vim, so it'll open a text file in Vim. It'll open a PDF file in Events. It'll open up MP3 file in like Banshee, I think I have it set. So it's really useful, or you know, like a ODT file to open up in LibreOffice. So you can navigate, you can preview. The only thing I don't like is that there really isn't a preview for LibreOffice or Open Documents. So you actually just have to hit write one more time and open those to see what they look like. Just as a side note, I also use this other program called NCDU, which is ncurses DU, to analyze space that's in my available in different folders. So it gives you like a graphical view of how much space you have in that current directory, and you can navigate similarly as you do in Ranger. When you hit over, you can go inside of that folder and see which files are the biggest in that next folder, and then you can hit over again, or up, down, left, right, and see which ones are the biggest one in the next subfolder, the next folder. And so you can find, I use it to find like random files that I didn't know were still in my system that are taking up a lot of room. All right, going back into the configuration of Ranger. So one of the biggest things that you can do, the first thing you need to do is you have to create the Ranger files. And to do all the config files, so the first thing you do is you run ranger-config copy-config equals all, and that'll make the default copies of all the config files, and they're located in the home directory .config/.config/ranger directory. There's an rc .conf file, so rc.conf, which is where you set all of your key bindings and some of your settings. There is the commands.py file, which is a Python script, which when you're in command mode, so when you hit colon, there's a lot of commands you can do, just like you do in Vim, and it tells you all those. And so a lot of the key bindings, you can key bind to things that are done in the command mode. And you can customize those and add more Python scripts if you want to, just right inside of there. And it lets you, it's also where you customize which files, which programs open the files. There's also the scope.sh, which is where you define the files that are used for making the previews. And I am in a process of making one. I use Markdown a lot, and I'm in the process of making one that uses Python Markdown to turn a Markdown file into HTML, and then the send that to links so that it'll preview the Markdown file in HTML on my screen. And I think I have it. I just need to test it. Navigation is the next thing I want to talk about. So like I said, there's up, down, left, right. You can go GG to go to the top, or capital G to go to the bottom, just like you do in VI. Capital E is used to edit a file, and it'll open up using whatever editor you chose. Like I said, there's page up and page down. As for some of the other commands that you can use, you can use spacebar to mark the current item to do stuff to it. So move it, delete it, whatever. You can also use the command mark and then a pattern. So colon, the word M-A-R-K, and then a regular expression to mark all the ones that match a certain regular expression. And then you can do other stuff to them. And some of the things you can do to the files or the folders is you can do DD and then PP to cut and paste something. You can use YY to yank it, and then PP to put it in another place, which would be like a copy and paste instead of a cut and paste. You can also, some of the other commands you can use, colon touch and then the file name to create a new file, colon mkdir or mkdir to make a new directory. You can do colon grep to, and then your search criteria to find items, find words or things that match in different files. You can either press the delete key, and it's going to ask you to confirm and to delete, or you can type in colon delete, the word delete, and that'll also delete the file. You can use colon rename or colon bulk rename. Colon rename, you just, whatever one you're on or whatever ones you've marked, you rename, and it'll just rename it to whatever you, the next word that you put in the command. Next to that, there's also the bulk rename. And so what you do is you mark all the files, and then you do bulk rename and hit enter, and it's going to create a file out of that, and you edit that file with the names that you want things to be changed to. So it's going to make a file with all the current names of the directories and the files that are in the directory that you're in. And then you can, like, on the computer, just delete words or delete letters, characters, and replace them with other characters. And it'll, when you hit save, it'll say, are you sure you want to do that? And then you say yes, and it changes the names of all those files to whatever you rename them when you, in that file that you edited. It's a pretty cool trick. To get it to work for me, I was getting this error. And I don't know if it's because it's an old version of, or a different version of Python or something, but I had to change something in the Python configuration script where it was trying to call something. It's called ranger.container.file. So it was looking for a from ranger.container.file import capital word file. I just had to change the word ranger.container to ranger.fsobject.file import file, because when I looked in the Python libraries, I couldn't find the container folder, but I found when I did a grep for the word file with a capital F, I found it in the FS objects library. So I changed it to that and all of a sudden it worked. So I guess that's the fix. Another, some of the key bindings that you can use ZH, that'll toggle hidden files on and off. So it starts out with hidden files not shown, and you can hit ZH to turn hidden files on. You can use GN, and that's going to make a new tab. And then GT, or G capital T, and that's how you navigate between tabs. So just like in Vim or VI, you can do everything in the current screen. You can make a new buffer, you can make a new tab. Same thing, you can make a new tab, and you can, so it's a tree, but it's also, you can make separate tabs and look at stuff in separate tabs. You can use the forward slash key and type in characters to do a search on that directory, just like you would if it was a file in VI, where if there's a file that was called foo.txt, if you went slash and did FOO, it would find foo, and then you could hit N, and they'll go next to all the ones that it found in that directory. It's pretty cool. You can do capital V to go into visual mode. I haven't used this very much, but I think it's another way to select multiple. You can do colon open underscore with, and then you can use you can specify another command instead of using the default file, the default program that opens up that application. You can use a different one by using that. I think you can also use, I think it's R, and it'll also do open with. And there's a lot of commands and a lot of different key bindings and stuff. So the way that you can access all this stuff is through the help. And there's four different ways to get in the help. The main help, you just hit question mark when you're in Ranger, and you'll be able to see the man page, basically. You can do one question mark, and that'll give you a list of all the key bindings. You can do two question mark, and that'll list you all the commands that you can do in command mode. And you can do three question mark, and that will give you a list of all the settings. And so, like I said, this is tip of the iceberg, kind of like Vim, where you can do a lot or you can do a little. But to get comfortable with it, it doesn't take very much. You know, if you know how to use arrow keys, you can get a lot of use out of it. And then that's how I use it. I read a lot of my notes just with a terminal open full screen, because it doesn't really allow you to scroll through the files, because it's a preview screen, so you'd have to open them to scroll through them. But if you have short enough notes or short enough information in the files, in a full screen, like 720 or 1080p screen, you can see almost the entire file contents. And you can navigate and never even have to open up other applications. You can spend a lot of time in Ranger. And so I use it not just for my small business, just about any computer that I install. Like, I have a Raspberry Pi, and I installed Ranger on it using both Raspbian and Pydora, just because it's an easy way to navigate through the file structure. So that pretty much sums up what I'm going to talk about on this video, on this podcast. And yeah, let me know if you have anything else that you want to talk about from my original post. There's a couple of other things I want to cover. And let me know if there's anything in particular that you want to know about that I use. I'm by no means an expert, but, you know, I've used things a couple times, you know, for a couple months, and I've run into problems and I've fixed them. And the fact that I'm still using them means that none of the problems that I ran into were an issue. So hopefully that makes sense to everyone, and please give me feedback. I love hearing the feedback about, you know, how to make the podcast better, what information you would like more of, what you like less of, and I'll probably do a couple more before all said and done. Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.